At the outset of the 2014 Florida legislative session, political will to try and solve the state's most pressing water issues seemed to flow freely. Lawmakers on both sides of the political divide submitted measures to increase funding for a swath of local water projects, but perhaps the most expansive proposal came from Altamont Springs Republican Senator David Simmons. He spearheaded a bipartisan effort to pass a far-reaching bill that would have increased regulation of some of the state's more sickly springs, streams, rivers, and aquifers. Senators eventually passed Simmons' measure without a single no vote, but strong opposition from agricultural interests, who said the new rules would burden local ag businesses, effectively killed the bill in the House. Talk of comprehensive springs legislation dried up, at least for now. A failure to reconcile the agriculture industry's interests with environmental sustainability is nothing new, and it most certainly isn't unique to the Sunshine State. But one Florida A&M University scientist doesn't think a solution to the problem necessarily needs to come from the Capitol. Jennifer Charrier has been working with water for a couple of decades now. Originally from Connecticut, she moved to teach at FAMU. And while there, she began working on a project focusing on rain gardens, shallow depressions embedded with deep-rooted native plants for water collection.
They came to me in 2006 at FAMU and wanted us to install the first demonstration rain garden in Tallahassee. So the first demonstration rain garden that was installed in Tallahassee is on FAMU campus.
A couple years later, Charrier reviewed a very interesting dissertation submitted by one of her students, an idea to update the traditional rain garden. The plan was to leverage a rain garden's water collection power to create a system that not only stored rainwater and runoff, but filtered it and made it available for reuse. Charrier wanted to begin researching the plan immediately, and eventually she found a farm willing to let her build a test site, Clinton Nursery in Havana, Florida.
You should see this place during when all the birds migrate, and I mean, there is such a array of herons, egrets, storks.
Sheila J. Miner has been working at the more than 300-acre Havana nursery for years. She's touring around the grounds along narrow dirt roads in a large four-door pickup truck. Dotting the landscape were retention ponds, some massive, some reminiscent of puddles. She stops at the far right corner of the property, where three small planted depressions sat downhill from a large row of plants punctuating them. Staring at her pet project, Jennifer Charrier describes how research from this prototype is coming up with some very interesting results.
Well, 50 to 60% of the nitrates are removed and about 64% of the phosphates are removed.
And so how does that compare to the traditional way of storing and irrigating these?
Well, otherwise, the whole 100% nitrate would go and the whole 100% phosphate would go off the property and go into this adjacent forest.
What's more, Charrier says the project isn't only effective, but is also cheaper than more traditional ways for farmers to capture the runoff and rainwater, 75% cheaper. And she says those savings are even larger once combined with the added benefit of reusing water, using less land for retention ponds, and a filtration system that's far healthier for the environment. Clinton Nursery farmer Sheila J. Miner says that makes the project a win-win for everyone, agricultural and environmental advocates alike.
The science, the art, and the skill all come together as one, and it's reflected in the quality of the plants. You know, we're trying to keep the business going. You know, it's very tough for any business right now.
Although Jeminer says more established agricultural operations like Clinton Nursery can't rely solely on Charrier's now commercialized water system, many new farms could, and even older ones could always use the method to supplement their existing operations. Meanwhile, Charrier is working on making her system more scalable and is installing versions of it around the country, including New York City. Still, as much as she's happy about what her project might mean for environmental science, Charrier says she's more excited about the possibility of two disparate political rivers meeting in the middle to make a difference in Florida's environment. For Florida Public Radio, I'm Ryan Benk.